I was thinking about the interruption that we had during the homily last weekend at the 10:30 Mass. So I guess I should say, as I tell my classes at Sacred Heart, if anybody has a question or a comment as I'm speaking, please raise your hand and wait till I call on you, and we'll address that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just see me after Mass. I'll explain it to you. Since Holy Thursday until today, you've noticed right next to the Paschal candle that I've kept the holy oils on display as a reminder of the very Spirit who enlivens us and is bestowed upon us in the use of these holy oils in different sacraments of the Church. The sacrament of baptism, sacrament of confirmation, the sacrament of anointing of the sick specifically. We use the oil of catechumens and the oil of chrism in baptism. We use the oil of chrism in confirmation. We use the oil of the sick in the anointing of the sick. And of course, the chrism is also used in the sacrament of holy orders when a priest or a bishop is ordained. So why is it that we use oil? Oil in biblical times had great value for various means. Oil was used as a currency. It was used for health. It was used for nourishment. It was used for healing, used for cleanliness, and of course, used for strength. It didn't take very long for the writers of the Bible to realize that what the oil does to the body, the Holy Spirit does to the soul. It gives us a wealth of grace. It restores health to the sin sick. It nourishes us and gives us strength. It heals us from the wounds of sin. It cleanses us from the effects of sin and strengthens us in that wealth of grace to be men and women of God. All these given by the Holy Spirit, the very breath of God. When we go back to Genesis and we see the creation of the first human beings, God, of course, takes the dust of the earth and breathes his very life into it, thus creating the first person, the first man, from whom would come the first woman. But these individuals were made what they were in the image and likeness of God by the breath of God. They lived in paradise. They lived in communion with God and communion with one another. They were also in communion with the rest of nature, and everything was in a beautiful, perfect balance, and they could even see God face to face. There was no division. There was no sin. All of creation reflected the unity of the Holy Trinity. God, one God, but three divine persons made one by complete mutual self-giving love, which is exactly what the Holy Spirit is. God the Father loving the Son, who would become flesh for all eternity, the Son loving the Father, and that love exchange between the Father and the Holy Spirit given to us, creating us, making us in God's own image and likeness in perfection. Notice how as long as Adam and Eve lived in the Spirit and by the Spirit, they remained in communion with God and one another. But once they began to go by their own spirit and follow their own will, they turn their backs on God and they break that communion with God, which then breaks that communion with each other and that communion with the rest of nature. There's division and mass chaos. It's the opposite of God. This is why Christ, the Son of God, the Word, would become flesh. He becomes flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. In his person, he unites God and man together. But he does this so that now all of us who are baptized in his name, who are given a gift of that Spirit, are also united to God through grace, adopted sons and daughters. At the same time, we are united to one another. Now, we look around this church today, and we see here brothers and sisters in Christ made one by the Holy Spirit. And not just here, but every Catholic church throughout the world, we're all baptized and confirmed believers, partake of the Eucharist. We proclaim loudly in one church, found universally in every language, that there is one Lord, that Jesus is Lord, and we are his by the power of the Holy Spirit. One body, one Spirit in Christ. It wasn't always that way. In the very beginning, because of man's separation from God, God had to reach out toward us, and he formed one group of people, the Israelites, to be particularly his own. And upon them he would bestow the Holy Spirit, but it didn't do anything to change them on the inside. It simply guided them. From the Israelites, he had three different roles to reflect his own role for us. The priests, the prophets, and the kings. Priests chosen from the tribe of Levi who would offer sacrifice for the Israelites for the forgiveness of sins. The prophets would speak the word of God to the Israelite people, and the kings would govern Israel with authority that came from God himself. The priests, the prophets, and the kings were all anointed with the sacred oil. It reminded the Israelites of the fact that the Holy Spirit came upon them and consecrated them for their sacred duties. They were set apart, so to speak, from the rest of the chosen people for a specific purpose, just as the chosen people had been set apart by God for a specific purpose, to bring the world the knowledge of the one true God. It's Jesus who fulfills all three roles in himself. He is the priest who offers himself for our salvation. He is the Word of God who comes to give us the fullness of the truth, and as a divine Son of God is King forever. In our baptism and our anointing with this oil, when we become filled with the Spirit at baptism and confirmation, we likewise become priests, prophets, and kings. Men and women who offer a sacrifice of prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Men and women who speak the word of God by our words and by our actions. Men and women who are kings with Christ and showing control over our passions. We too have been chosen, set apart from others for the same reason, to bring the gospel to all nations, as Jesus told us. Go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded you. And know that I am with you always, Jesus says, until the end of the world. This is the gift that we have from Christ. Those gifts of the Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, deep faith and piety, fortitude and strength, great reverence of God's fatherhood, all these things that we see embodied in Christ, as the prophet Isaiah foretold, all this given to you and me, confirmed in the Spirit of God to produce good fruit. Christ is the anointed one above all. He is Christos, that is the anointed, Mashiach, Messiah, the one filled with the Spirit. And we have been united to Christ by that Spirit, purified by his fire, healed by the purging, and enlightened by his very light. Oils used symbolically to strengthen, to sanctify, to heal, given to us to be another Christ. In his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul talks about those who live by the Spirit. And if you want to know how somebody lives by the Spirit, it's not simply by speaking in tongues or babbling or shouting in church or those kinds of things. It's far, far deeper than that. As he himself says, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh has desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. The two are opposed to one another so that you do not do what you want, so that you do not do what God calls you to do. And we see the world around us doing exactly what the Spirit does not wish us to do. The works of the flesh, St. Paul says, are obvious. Immorality, impurity in thought, in word, in action, lust of the flesh, following after false gods, replacing the one true God with practically anything, sorcery, superstition, witchcraft, psychics, the whole nine yards with that, hatreds of all sorts, rivalry, people fighting against one another, jealous of one another, outbursts of fury, acts of pure selfishness, which we see all the time, that leads to killings of all sorts, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, see a plenty of those, orgies and the like, in a word, the 50 shades of perversion, it's all there. I warn you, St. Paul says, as I warned you before, and this is St. Paul being used by the Holy Spirit to tell us, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they don't live in the kingdom of God. Adam and Eve lived in paradise prior to sin. In sin, they were cast out. In sin, we are cast out. If, however, following the Spirit's lead, we live by grace and produce good fruit as a result thereof, we find ourselves living in paradise. The fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, St. Paul says, there is no law. So how do you know you're living by the Spirit? Remember, we're all given that gift, as I said, in baptism, and we've received the fullness in confirmation. And I'll give you an idea. I received the gift of holy orders passed down by the apostles through sacred ordination on the day that I was ordained a priest. If I sat in the house all day long, watched TV and ate potato chips, never said mass, never visited the sick, never performed a wedding or a funeral, never taught the faith to other people, never did a thing that a priest is supposed to do, you would ask yourself, then what use is it for you to be ordained? And you'd be absolutely right. And by my lack of putting into effect that which God has given me, the church would suffer and the church would die. The same thing happens to every one of us, not just the priest, but every Christian who does not live by the Spirit that is given to every one of us. If we are not people of true, absolute, self-giving love, if we cannot spread the joy of loving and knowing Christ and serving others, if we are not at peace within ourselves or with others, if we can't be patient with ourselves or others, even as difficult as it might be sometime, if we cannot be kind to others and generous, even to a fault, if we can't be faithful to God or to our spouses or our families or communities, if we can't be gentle and exercise self-control, then the fault is not anybody else's but our own. We have the gift to do it, but do we have the will? The world is as it is because we are as we are. We are not living according to the Spirit that we have been given. And that's a problem, because we can and we need to. Brothers and sisters, as St. Paul further says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. You have been given a great gift. You have, by the sacraments you received, been given a great wealth. You've been given health and nourishment. You've been given healing and cleanliness. You have been given strength that only the Spirit of God can give. You say that Jesus is Lord, then by that Spirit live with Christ Himself as Lord, following always the lead of the Spirit He gave you.